Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit, brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn. Well, happy Monday to everybody. I hope everyone had a good week. As you can tell, I'm a little bit stuffy. We're having some issues down here with the mountain cedar, and that's probably the only thing I'm allergic to here, which is miraculous because everyone here is allergic to everything, and I'm the only one that's only allergic to one thing, so I'm grateful, and yet I just have to wait this out, but I will be fine. If I start to sound really bad, just let me know, and I'll just cut the show short. It's just been so, stuffy. Chat room is open, so you can use this as a resource, as I've said in the past, to connect with other people who are, you know, interested in the same thing you're into. And also, there's a couple of things I'm going to talk about today. The basis of the show is about relationships, and it's just like every reading, every time I'm inspired to do some kind of writing, the same subject keeps coming up, up and up and up. And I have been very, very bad about meditating and working with my guides, and they've let me know that. And I basically, the way that they try to get my attention is I'll just be doing my thing and, you know, not connecting with them. And I'll start to see, like, all of these little lights kind of popping up everywhere. And I'm like, okay, I know. I'm busy, though. It's like, okay, I will do it. So I did it today. They're a little bit more happy with me now. But this subject of relationship is huge, and it's going to be huge this year. And most of this has to do with how we perceive things in our reality here on, you know, planet Earth as a human being. What does a relationship really mean? What's the function of it? And do we really, you know, we use them for the right purpose? I mean, they are kind of tools to help us learn here. But before I go into that, I just want to mention I did put up a new blog this week. I'm going to try to be a little better with that too. Not really inconsistent. But this was kind of cool because this past week I had, as I said, my guides were like, you know, trying to talk to me and I wasn't paying attention. Excuse me. And I had asked a question and it was about, you know, my job, like everybody else out there. What are we going to do? What's my job going to be like? Oh, my God, am I going to have enough money? You know, that's what everybody does. It's kind of a crazy time. And a lot of it has to do also with basically being on the right track, because as much as I'd like to have a job that makes me oodles of money, if I'm also in a position where I'm not happy or like I feel like my soul's being drained out of my body every day, that's not going to work for me either. So read the article. I think you'll find it very interesting. I talk a lot about how your guides will try to get messages to you. This is exactly that. This is a good example of how something comes. For me, I get them in threes. That's just to make sure that that's like a confirmation for me. Like once is not enough, twice I'm still questioning, three times, okay, yeah, that's it. And the way that you get them in terms of you might read something on a billboard, you might hear a song, whatever it is, you might be watching a movie and a line pops out at you. It's really cool. It happens. It is probably happening to you, but you're pushing it off as coincidence, so try to pay attention. But that's confessionsofaspiritmessenger.com. And as always, when you pop on there, check out the links on the right-hand side because I do have a couple of places where you can connect with me through my Facebook page or on Twitter. And then there's also my articles on examiner.com, which are psychic and medium related, mostly having to do with stuff down here in San Antonio. And on that subject, I'm currently looking for San Antonians to send me a question that they have, whatever it is, life, money, love. I want to do like a weekly kind of Dear Abby type thing where you send in a question and I use one of my many decks of cards to do a three card reading. And I'm going to use the cards for a reason. You know, basically the pictures are nice. People like to look at something. It's not, you know, just reading words, but I need to do something that's more consistent and I need to do something that kind of builds readership a little bit. So if anyone has a question, if you're in the San Antonio area, so I can have the beautiful local the local angle that they're asking me to always do, that would be fantastic. So just send that in to me. I've only had two takers so far. I have no idea, like, how to reach out to everybody, but I'm trying. And I'm trying to figure out what I can put in there, like, as the title. So if anyone has any kind of title ideas, I'm like, maybe it's going to be the question of the week or the reading of the week. I don't know how to put it so that it's short, but it says what it is, and I can use it every week as the same title. That's basically that. So, want to talk a little bit about something that happened on Friday night. I went out to Burnie to see my friend Bonnie Owian, who is the person who did my Akashic Records reading, and she's the owner and proprietor of All Encompassing Retreats. It's allencompassingretreats.com if you want to find out more. She teaches classes on how to read your own Akashic Records, and she's got a workshop coming up really, really quickly. So if you want to get in on that, check out her website, sign up. We've also, you know, done this whole past life regression, which is what we did on Friday. I brought a friend of mine, and she was like, I really want to do a past life regression. I want to know who I was, and I'm convinced I was a princess. You know, we all have these ideas. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll do it. I treated her to that because I figured she just retired. This is an interesting thing to, you know, kind of explore. She's out of that, she's trying to transition into that mindset where she actually owns her own time now. What a concept. You're retired. You can actually do what you want. So we went, and it was really interesting. And she was fully prepared to totally, like, thinking that she was going to lose control, and she was going to be clucking like a chicken and imagining everybody naked or however that goes. And I was like, it's not the R-rated comedian hypnotist people. This is legit, you know? And Bonnie is so good about making sure that you're comfortable. She sits you down and dims the lights. But before she does all that, she actually tries to make sure she doesn't say anything that would rattle you in any way. So let's say in hypnotherapy, the big thing in the beginning is trying to get a person to a level of relaxation where they can actually open up. So she's like, first of all, do you have a fear of elevators? Because God forbid she uses the symbology to try to get you to go down like 10 floors or, you know, to get you down, because they do that whole countdown thing in hypnotherapy. And she's like, no. And it was just interesting, like things that you wouldn't even think of. And it's like, anything that might break up that's going to break your space, I want to know now because I want this to be the best experience for you. And I so love that about Bonnie, because she makes sure that you're having, you know, a true and comfortable experience. And it's awesome. I mean, there are so many people that do these kinds of things that it's like routine for them. But she takes every single person and treats them as if, you know, they're all that exists in that time that you have with her. And it's just phenomenal. So she tried to bring her back. And, you know, my friend's really cerebral. She tried to get her to do the relaxing thing, you know, come start with the toes and go all the way up to the head, relaxing every part of your body and all that. And I could just feel her, like, so afraid to let go and thinking, oh, my God, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't go unconscious. And I didn't say anything, though. And so the first, like, maybe 20 minutes of her trying to get some information, okay, go back in time and see what you pull out, she was having a tough time because I think she was just, like, so nervous. But she finally let go, and it was good, you know. She got to go back to these different lives that she had and the roles that she had in the lives. And the stuff that you pull out of these lives is very, it's not dramatic, but there tends to be themes there in terms of, were you consistently a person who was a servant of others as opposed to a person who was in a position of power? Or did you always find yourself in a relationship where you didn't have the upper hand? You know, there's a lot of these little things that while you're under and in the hypnosis and you're talking about them, you don't actually pick up because you're focused on the hypnotherapist asking you questions. Okay, look down. Can you see what your clothing is like? And she's pulling the stuff out of you. Once you get to the end of the regression, that's when you talk about all this stuff, and it's like, did you notice that in every single life, blah, 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 there's all these like little idiosyncrasies or consistencies? And she had quite a few themes that all went to the same place. So we talked about that a little bit. I actually got to participate. I got to be regressed, I guess, if you want to say that, but you know, because it was my friend's session and not mine, I just couldn't answer the questions, and I couldn't be, you know, in a position to go deeper into what I was doing. But I did go back to a couple of places, and I was totally shocked. I'm like, oh, my God, how is this happening? I'm not even doing it. Well, I am doing it, but it's not even my session. But the first place I went back, which this is going to sound crazy, and if anyone doesn't believe me, oh well. But this is what I saw. You know, I don't even know if I believe it at this point. The first thing I saw, I was a gladiator. I looked down and I saw that I was like in chains, and I had like, I was like dirty, and I was a guy, obviously. And I could see that I was in the Colosseum, and I'm like, really? This is where I'm going? You know, of all the places that I could pick. Fantastic. And as she's asking my friend different questions, I'm kind of going through them in my own head, but just not verbalizing the answer. And she's like, okay, so now it's dinner time, because she was having a hard time getting from her, like, where she was, what time it was, what stage of her life she was at. Like, it was just, it was a little more difficult for her. So she was trying to get mealtime. She's like, okay, well, go to a mealtime and tell me, what are you eating? You know, where are you sitting and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, my God. They're, like, basically giving me bread and water, like, enough to live. And I didn't get super emotional. I was really detached, which I was good. That was good for me, because once I open up and the floodgates pour, oh, it's just hard. So I let that go after she, you know, moved my friend to the other life, and then I got to go to the next life too, and I was like, wow, I'm still doing it. This is cool. And the next life, I was a flower child in the 60s, and I'm like, oh my God, this is nuts. And I'm like, I'm asking, you know, in my own head, what year am I in? So I'm like, I know I was born in 75. How, I must have died shortly thereafter in this life, because it was like 68, 69. And I could see myself, and I was like with all these other hippie people. We were like living in a field, and not like communal, yeah, I guess communal living. I mean, we had tents, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. Everyone had to share their food and all that. And I was like, man, this is crazy. It was a trip. And then I fell asleep. Yay. And thankfully, I didn't snore that loud that my friend got disturbed. So when I woke up, I went to sleep, and she was somewhere having a life in India. I woke up, and they were talking about that an angel had appeared, and there was something else going on. And I was like, uh-oh. And I thought I drifted, but I didn't think I drifted long enough to miss, like, that much. So she told me later, she's like, Bonnie says, I was going to kick you if you started snoring too loud. And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I was really tired, and you really relaxed me. So it was a really fun experience, and nothing what my friend thought it was going to be. I mean, she really thought she was going to lose control and she wouldn't be lucid at all. But she was the whole time, and so was I. And I chose to open my eyes at the point that I did, because I wanted to kind of focus more on her, because this was her session. Didn't want to, you know, completely make it about myself, even though I was going to my own places. So using that as a segue, there were different relationships that I, you know, I was a part of, in those, like, romantic relationships, family relationships. And just like in modern times, you know, they have their own conflicts or their own dynamic. And one of I did actually go to one more life, and it was real short because I didn't know what was going on. I had just woken up, and I allowed myself to drift like one more time. And I was in this vineyard in Tuscany. I don't know what year it was. And I was basically working in the fields there. And there was a guy there with me who I knew was my dad. And I think I recognized him as my grandfather, which was really strange because I didn't expect that at all. I was like, wow, he really reminds me of my grandfather. So from there, I wasn't sure. I don't think it was our vineyard. I think we were like a family that worked for the people that owned the actual vineyard. So didn't get much out of that. But interesting, because they do say that we come back into the same kind of families, or like you're reborn with the same soul group a lot. So theoretically speaking, you may have been, your mom may have been your daughter in another life, or your dad could have been your son in another life. It's crazy, but it does happen. And when you can recognize those little things during a regression, you know, it's really enlightening, because sometimes the relationship that you had, even though it was sort of like a different dynamic, it's actually almost the same kind of issues in the relationship that you'll have now. And they say, you know, karma, you're trying to bring about a resolution, and you're trying to learn your lesson and do it right. So if that's true, then getting into these past lives can actually help you a lot, to give you some insight into what it is that you're supposed to be learning. Because when you're in the middle of it, you really don't know what's happening. You're trying to live your life. You're not looking at it from a higher viewpoint and trying to analyze it. So, having said that, everything in this reality is, it appears to be separate. You know, this is what we come here for. When people go and they have these like medical emergencies and they end up passing away for a minute or sometimes longer than that on the table, when they come back with these experiences that they've had, all of them say the same basic thing. You know, I knew that everything was happening in divine order, exactly how it was supposed to be. I felt connected to everything. There was nothing bad, like no, I didn't feel sadness. I felt joy, and everything's connected. So basically, when you're in spirit, you know all this stuff. You don't take it for granted. It's just, you know it. When you come to Earth, you forget it. So you have no idea. And hence, everything that exists here, because it appears separate, is an opportunity for you to experience a relationship to it. So this includes people, but this also includes ourselves. It includes the environment. And it includes relationships with people or beings in spirit. So relationship is a huge deal in this life. It's one of the major focuses. Separateness is one thing, then the relationship comes right after that. So in relationships, every time, you know, most other mediums or psychics out there will tell you, every time a person comes to them for a reading, almost always, it has something to do with love life, or am I going to find the right person, or what's wrong with my relationship right now? For some reason, romantic relationships are like this huge, huge emphasis for a lot of people. And I got interested in that, and when I went back and kind of looked things up, I realized that a lot of that comes from this idea, this whole soulmates thing comes from the Greeks. And there's a story in Plato's Republic where they're trying to understand, you know, why some people, you know, choose same-sex partners or whatever, and they come up with this whole idea, and you can read this if you want, but I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's not easy reading. There's three genders that there were, like, these three genders of people. One was, like, made up of two men, one was made of two women, and the other one was a man and a woman, and at some point, the gods decided to split us all down the middle, and I was like, oh, okay, and so this romantic idea of having to find our other half, is that's where all of that comes from. I don't know that before that there was a whole lot about that. So everybody really, even if you don't know that's where that idea came from, that's where it came from, and everybody kind of just accepts it like, wow, that makes sense because I feel this emptiness inside of me. Well, the emptiness inside of you isn't about whether or not you have a love relationship with a romantic partner. The emptiness inside of you comes from being separated from God, or at least that you think you are. So in order to kind of remedy that, we will use relationships. And that's not to say that we're all consciously doing this. I really feel as though a lot of this is kind of pre-programming in your subconscious that gets there as you're growing up, and then you're just running your program. Excuse me. So we're out there with this idea that we're not complete as we are, and that we need other things in order to be complete. So we're talking like relationships with material goods as well. You know, I will be better if I have this. This will be a part of me, and therefore I will be greater for it. And that's really where you get into trouble with materialism, and it links up to that idea of being powerful. You're like, I'm not a powerful person if I live in a one-bedroom apartment with my cat and I'm a librarian. Wrong. Everybody is exactly on the same footing. It's up to you what you choose to do. Some of us choose to accept our power, others choose to push it aside. The relationships that we have are extremely, extremely important to look at because they're like mirrors for what's really going on inside of us. So if you find yourself in relationships, and I know a lot of people that are listening right now and that will listen on the replay are going to relate to this because it's just one of those things. There are a great number of people who spend their lives doing for other people. And whether that's a parent-child relationship or, you know, in a work capacity, you're always doing something in service of somebody else. And we tend to spread ourselves pretty thin because another underlying thing that we kind of pick up and throw in our subconscious in mainstream culture, it's better for you to give than it is to receive. Okay, but what does that mean? You should never receive, right? You kind of get that little impression. So receiving becomes like this unholy thing, and God forbid somebody gives you something, you can't accept it. I'm talking even a compliment. I've seen so many people that, this happened at work this past weekend. One of the ladies came in, she was a customer, and she looked at my boss and she said, "Wow, you look really good. You look like you lost weight." And she's like, "Oh, no, no." And it's like, I've seen her do this a million times, this refusal to accept the fact that somebody's trying to tell her she looks good. And it's like, take the damn compliment. My God, it's free. You know, nothing's good. You're not going to become this tarnished being if you accept someone's compliment. And that also ties into the whole ego thing, where so many schools of thought tell you the ego is evil. The ego is what makes you want to rise to power and step on everybody in the process. And these are all these misconceptions that really, they're just programs that we're running. They have nothing to do with the actual truth, because we stopped exploring the truth. We're relying on this, what I call living in autopilot. This is the theme of this year. We have to stop doing this. We have to stop waking up every day and not questioning things and just running through the motions, all of that stuff. I mean, once you start to, you know, take the time to stop and look at things, you know, it becomes a little clear. It becomes a little bit more clear, and it will over time. But if everyone took responsibility for their own actions and their own selves, what a different place the world would be. And what I mean by that is, well, one of the things that my friend was asked, because a lot of her relationships, she appeared to be more on the serving end than she was on the other. So she asked her, she's like, you know, in your life presently, if you decide not to do these things for all these people, that they will be able to do it themselves. They will take care of it themselves. The world's not going to come to an end, basically. And she's kind of like, well, I don't know that I believe that. You know, they make me think otherwise. That's a huge thing. That right then and there, just that observation, big step. What's going to happen if you don't do this? Think of the things that you do automatically every day because you feel like you have to, or there's an obligation there. Stop and think about that and decide for yourself whether or not you're doing something because you feel like it's really necessary, or because you're enabling somebody else to have a better life, or so you think, but what you're doing is taking away opportunities for them to be challenged. If everyone just took responsibility for their own and their own stuff, it would be a completely different place. Relationships would still exist, but they'd exist in a way that didn't conflict all the time. One of the biggest ones that I see a lot of parents, like old school parents, that really had a hard time growing up and they wanted to have their kids have a better life. And, okay, so what are you going to do? Well, they're going to work 5 jobs because they don't want their kids to ever want for anything. And what you end up with is a kid who is ungrateful because they don't understand the work that it took to get it, because they didn't have to do the work. And they're getting cars, they're getting college educations. They never have to lift a finger for anything. God forbid they change their own sheets. What are you sending out into the world? What kind of person is that going to be? You're going to send this person out in the world, are they going to call you and keep relying on you? And from that perspective, I think it's a little irresponsible. I understand where it comes from, but if you stop and think about it and you say, you know what, maybe this isn't best for the person that I'm doing this for. Maybe this is for me. Maybe I need to be so important and I need to feel needed to the point where I'm actually being detrimental to somebody else's progress and advancement, so that they can learn to be their own person and learn to do their own things. You have to kind of let people take ownership of their own thing. And I've talked about this in a couple of shows where it's like ownership. Why does that keep coming up? Ownership. You need to own it. And I talked a little bit about how owning your own power is really important. Well, it is. And when you have a relationship, one of my guides that I call grandfather, he's like a Native American elder. He basically told me that whenever there's more than one person involved, you're in a situation that involves power. And, you know, right away I'm thinking, oh, no, no, that's not true. And I'm thinking, no, on some level it is, because relationship always brings up that power. concept. Does one person know more than the other? Is one person more capable than the other? What place are they in their lives? Do you feel like you're left behind? For a really long time, I had a friend that consistently, like we're talking, I think I've known her for like 10 years now, consistently for like the first 7, she was like, I always feel like I'm behind. I always feel like I'm behind. Everybody else seems like they know what they want, and I don't. What's wrong with me? And that thinking kept her behind. It wasn't until she finally said to herself, well, it doesn't matter where everybody else is. I need to know where I am. And here's where I'm at, and the next place I want to be is here. Once she got herself out of that hole, where am I in relation to everybody else, she kind of moved forward. And it was like, great, you know, great. This is exactly what I've been trying to help you with, but you wouldn't let me because she couldn't get there. There was just a mental block. She didn't want to hear it. And now she's doing well, and she's moving forward, and she sees things as stepping stones, but in her relationships, what she saw reflected back to her was that she was behind everybody else, that everybody else was better than her or moving forward and advancing in a way that she was unable to. Once again, there's that concept of relationship and how it works for you. It really does have a purpose. It really does have a function. Each of your relationships does have some kind of function in how you're living your life and experiencing your life. And it's not always about the romantic relationships. As some of the people that I've followed over the years, like Sonia Choquette and Colette Baron-Reed, Lisa Williams, a lot of these people talk about relationships in spirit and how we're, you know, we're born into the same families and all that. But all of our relationships really are family relationships because we are all one. And even though we appear separate here, we're all part of the same thing. So when you get down to it and you start to look at it from a higher perspective, all of this craziness that goes on down here, if you just break out of the situation and look at it from a higher perspective, you can get a little bit better of a sense of what it's really all about and stop chasing your tail. Because I feel like a lot of people, they get that. Like, I feel like I'm chasing my tail. When is this ever going to change? And it's like, stop focusing on what you think the problem is. Remember that show I did? I think it was, I don't know if it was the Akashic Records one or not, where I talked about the person in the living room who looks down and sees that the carpet is wet and notices there's a drip, so they put the bucket there. And then after that, it progresses. Okay, now I got to get a bigger bucket because I don't want to change the bucket all the time. This is a pain. And then they end up getting multiple, you know, different kinds of containers. And in the end, they end up ripping up the carpet and putting a drain in. And then in the end, you get the house, you know, the roof collapsing. Okay, all of these little things are what we avoid. These are these little things that we put in front of ourselves, the bucket, is kind of representative of what we do in order not to look up and realize the real problem is a drip in the ceiling. If you just fix the ceiling, you don't have a wet carpet anymore. When you get to the relationship aspect of your life, look at the ones that are going, you know, with your journal or when you're doing your introspection. Look at those relationships. Notice where the consistencies are. Are you always in the same position? If so, let's look at that. Stop looking at the individual stuff. Well, I had to do this because she did that. And if it wasn't for this person doing that, I wouldn't have gone this way and done that. No, that's not what it's all about. It's all about you. I know this is like what I usually tell people. It's not all about you. It's all about you. How great is that? At that point in time, it is all about you. From your perspective, the only truth that you can ever know is the one that you experience. So look at your experience and check out the relationships you're having. And from there, you're going to see the real truth. And what's going to happen is when you finally allow yourself to go there, your spiritual evolution is going to skyrocket because you'll have found a basic truth. And once you have one of those basic truths under your belt, it's there forever. And you can use it. It's part of your memory bank. It's part of your wisdom going forward so that you can actually see everything from this perspective that it's happening and not just, you know, as part of the one situation that you're in. So let's see. I have a caller right now, and I'm looking in the chat room, it looks like. some people are agreeing with me about always doing for others and all of that stuff. I'm going to say thanks to everyone for their input. It's always good to have some buzz in the chat room because, you know, when you're talking and you don't know who your listeners are or what they're thinking, it can be a little bit weird. And the feedback loop is always a good one so that I can actually find out whether or not people are understanding what I'm saying or if there's any questions and stuff like that. So that's why I have the chat room up, you know. It's because I want you all to find each other and be able to interact with each other and build your own relationships with people that are on the same page as you, but also because I do need that feedback loop when I'm doing my shows, and I want to know whether or not what I'm saying resonates with you or if there's a question. I'm always open to whatever it is that you have a question about. As long as, you know, you don't jump in the chat room and go, I want to know about XYZ, and then throw a fit when I say I'm not giving a reading in the middle of my show, then I'm fine. Just be respectful of me. Be respectful of other people in the chat room. In that case, it's not all about you, okay? Your question is all about you. But this whole thing is about all of us. So just have some respect for that. I'm going to take this caller. All I can tell is that it's from the 484 area code, so let me just pick that up real quick. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, hi. My name is Tiffany, and this is the first time I'm listening and calling in about your show.
Cool, hi.
Hi, and I wasn't too sure, you know, if you can help me or what, but I am going through some difficult times with a relationship, and I'm not sure, mm-hmm. you know, how things are going to turn out or what I should do or what have you. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like I do have some, a little bit of psychic ability, a little tiny bit, but again,
sure.
you know, I'm not sure how to use it. I don't know what to do. I feel like
okay.
I'm really lost and confused, so.
Well, let's just talk about the relationship a little bit. Are we talking about a romantic relationship?
Yes.
Okay, so it's been going on for years, for months?
I've been with him 2 years, but in April and in October, he decides to retreat to the man cave and not come out until he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do. I mean, I've invested 2 years. I really care about this person. I really want to be with this person. But I don't know why he keeps doing this, and I don't know what to do. And, I mean, I just don't want to throw him away and get someone new because, you know, no matter what you do, that new person's going to have stuff too. You know what I mean? So
I know. mm-hmm. Okay,
and I don't
well,
even know
there's...
if this is the end of the road for me and him either. So I don't know.
Well, there's a bunch of concepts that what you said basically brings up here. One of them is the fact that, you know, you're looking to someone to be your partner, and for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason you feel as though you absolutely need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Right then and there, you just want to look at yourself, and this is not a criticism, this is just like, try a different perspective. Try on a different perspective, like you're trying on a different
okay.
dress.
Okay.
Okay, now you're wearing a different dress, and in this dress, you know that you're whole and you don't need anybody else because everything you need is within you.
Right.
Now look at the relationships around you. The relationships around you have a different purpose because they're not, you don't absolutely need them. And they're not, it's not a security blanket for you. You feel
right.
secure within yourself.
Right.
Now, if you had that, and if he retreated to your cave, to his cave, while you're in this mindset, it wouldn't
right.
bother you. It wouldn't bother you because I think what's happening is you're making this more about you. And what it is what he's doing is about him. It has nothing
okay.
to do with you. He has his own issues, and for whatever reason, if he can't share them with you because of some kind of mental block he has, you
okay.
kind of have to respect that and let it go a little bit.
Okay.
That's
but
what
I'm
I would say. I would let it go.
I know, but I'm afraid that it might be the end of the road, and I may never hear from him again. I mean, I've
well,
had
me
that happen
this.
To me, too. So.
Okay. Sure.
And it's upsetting because people are like, you know, well, who cares? But, I mean, that's like the death of a person, you know, because you're not going to see him. You're not going to hear from him no more.
Yeah, but once again, that's the perspective. That's the place you're standing and looking right now. That's your vantage point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you have to kind of, I would look at yourself. I would look at yourself and not so much at him and figure out,
I know,
if this is happening over and over again, it's happening because there's a lesson there. And
right.
I'll tell you this, if you don't learn it, it's going to come back and it's going to be stronger,
yes,
and stronger.
I know.
Until.
I know.
And it's going to hurt more and more. So
right.
You have to look
right.
at it. And is. I mean, I'm hearing a little bit of resistance here as to what I'm, you know, what I'm telling you, and I'm sure that that's
right.
anything that comes up that bothers you and like gets under your skin like that, that's your big hint that this is a lesson. So
okay.
That's when you want to try to figure out, okay, this is happening. I feel crazy.
Okay.
Let me sit
okay.
down and figure out what this is about. Do you know
okay.
what I mean?
So you want
and
me to just kind of let him do his own thing, you know, whatever
nope,
he's feeling.
Nope, nope,
let
nope,
him.
Nope. Hold on. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Okay.
I respect everybody's individual choice to do what they want.
Right.
When you ask me a question, I will give you my perspective. What you do with that is all up to you. You don't have to listen
okay.
to me. You can tell me to go to hell. But
okay.
when I'm pulling cards for you, and the first card is the authority card. Second one's solar plexus. The last one's actually
okay.
real positive. It's rejoice and celebration. What this
okay.
tells me is there is an issue with power for you. And it may have to do with the fact that you feel like you're losing power when somebody in the other person in the relationship suddenly withdraws. Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The solar plexus, that's that chakra in the middle. Are you familiar with the chakras?
Yes.
Okay. That's the one that... help, that's the one that when it's blocked is when you have issues with power, with self-esteem, and your place basically in the scheme of things. So if you have any kind of book on the chakras that has exercises for it, like meditations
okay.
or anything like that,
okay.
that might be one place you can go to just start, you know, just because
right.
the problem is always, whatever's going on is always about you.
Right.
So dig a little bit deeper. Find out what's going on. The third card is rejoice and celebration. So I have to believe that what Spirit is telling me that is that if you actually go through this and examine your issues with power and within your own place for how you feel you fit in the scheme of things, that's going
right.
to be like your green light, and you're going to bust out of this, and you may find that the person you're looking for is already there and you didn't notice them.
Okay.
But you're going to get to that place.
Okay.
It's the
well,
process.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And I agree. You know, I do like to be in control, and, you know, I do get upset when things don't go my way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah,
and,
that's just
you
being
know,
human.
Right. So, you know, I got a lot to work on.
You do, and it all has to be you, though. You can't count on anybody else. You have to do all the work yourself. And it won't
right.
be hard if you call them. If you say you have guidance and you know you feel like you're tapping into it a little bit,
right.
try not to be resistant when you get a message. Because I know in the beginning when you first start doing this, you hear a lot of things and you don't agree with them. You pull a card from a deck, for example, and you're like, no, I don't like that one. And you pull another one. Just entertain the idea that the card you pulled and what you're hearing might be the right thing. And just see where it goes.
Well, what I'm getting is I actually get like visions. Like I actually seen... this man who is not, you know, talking to me, I actually seen him showing up, pulling the car up, his stuff in the car, him coming to my house and say, well, I'm here to live, you know, and I don't know what that's all about because he's in a different state and we never really talked about him coming and living with me. So I'm thinking, what is that? What is that? You know, what's happening here?
That also sounds like a power thing, somebody coming onto your own turf and telling you how it's going to be.
Okay.
So that
I mean,
might just
I'm
be
actually,
a message about power.
Right, because I'm actually concerned about him showing up unexpectedly and saying, well, I'm here to live, I want to be in your life, and this and that. And I'm trying to prepare myself for that, if that's going to happen, because I don't take very well to shocking experiences. You know, it really upsets me. So I'm trying
sure.
to adapt myself. Maybe that's my own body trying to adapt before this happens. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I get it. So just take what I've given you and see if it leads you anywhere. And
right.
just keep Just keep moving forward. You will get to the end of the road at some point. I promise you that. You're not going to be lost forever.
Right, right.
Okay?
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, well, thank you, and I wish you luck with the situation.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so in the chat room right now, there's a whole bunch of people in there, including the little wise guy that I like to call Lisa. And so I'm going to pull her up because I asked her to call in. I want to get her opinion straight from the horse's mouth because she's just rolling over and doing crazy things in there right now. So, Lisa, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Oh, you're innocent, all right.
Well, I am. You know, innocent as an angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell's angel.
Maybe it's still an angel.
You're such a wise guy. Well, let me ask you, because you do this stuff too. You're a psychic medium, and you try to help people with their guidance and get things the right way and not to ignore the things that are super obvious that you just don't want to hear. What do you think about, like, in general, what that last caller, she's got a problem that I'm sure not only she has, where her partner is sort of putting her in a position where she feels powerless. Do you have any kind of, like, insight on stuff like that?
Normally in that, I would tell somebody to go inside and ask them why they're putting out an energy that is weakened and desperate. Because when we feel that we're not worthy, we put out an energy that's weakened and desperate. And when we do that, we tend to draw somebody looking for that energy, which would be controlling, and the behavior such as that where they can come and go as they please with no thought to that person or no. But you put yourself in a position, or you've gotten yourself into an energy where you're attracting that because that's how you're feeling about self.
Right. It's always about you.
Yes. In other words, if you're feeling worthy and if you're feeling as though you're a good catch, so to speak, and if you're feeling good about yourself, then you're going to put out that energy. Anybody who's got a controlling nature or a distant nature or somebody who's disrespectful is not going to be drawn to an energy that's confident because they don't they don't connect with that. That's not what they're looking for. So you have to go inside and find out why you're feeling unworthy in that moment.
Exactly. And, you know, if you walk around all day thinking.
It happens to all of us every now and then.
Sure. I mean, we're not perfect, but it's how we deal with the experiences here. The experiences themselves aren't, you know, exactly as important as we make them. It's kind of like how we deal with them. And I feel like if you were the kind of person that walked around thinking that you were worth something and you were, you know, fantastic and deserved good things, when these little jerks came around and wanted to take advantage of you, you'd say, I don't think so. But when you're desperate and you need the attention and you really have to have somebody in order to be complete, you'll take anybody. And that's where you have these problems. You're inviting in bad things.
Exactly. And that was one of the things when I was still back on the air, I'd get the phone calls about when am I going to find, you know, a man. And my response to that generally was when you don't need one anymore. When you're so confident with yourself and you're so happy with yourself and you've become the person that you want to be and that man is now an enhancement to your life, not your life, then you will find the perfect fit.
Well, that's exactly true. When I married my husband, I told him, I'm not with you because I feel like you complete me. I said, I'm with you because I want to be. And that's a completely different place.
They don't. Exactly. When you get into a situation where your partner, your spouse, whomever it should be, sometimes you even see that with, like, situations where people are best friends, you know, where they're they're attracted to each other for exactly the wrong reason because they do complement each other, but they complement each other's weaknesses. And the situation shouldn't be that. You should complement each other's strengths.
Exactly. That's a healthy relationship.
Like, I married somebody totally opposite of me, but that's what works. I'm loud, you know, I'm loud and outspoken and opinionated. And my husband is quiet and subdued and laid back. But, you know, what is the perfect mix? Because two of us being loud, outspoken, opinionated would cause a clash. But the other thing is, and I put it in the chat room because I was joking with your girls and they're cute. Because, you know, everybody's looking for, women or men, whatever, everybody's looking for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. The problem is that there is no such thing. None of us are perfect. So you're on this ever-ending battle, and the reason that you're looking for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect is because you don't feel perfect and you think they'll make you that way.
Absolutely. That whole relationship, you think that through osmosis you're going to become whatever you're attracting. You know, like you want someone rich, so you think if you link up to them that somehow you're going to be at that level. And it's really weird. We actually, I think we use relationships a lot more as tools for our own selves than we actually enjoy spending time with people and are with them because they help us be healthier than, you know, than we are
exactly.
by ourselves or to teach us.
Marry or get with partners because of their social stature, because they don't feel that they're worthy of that social stature, so therefore they have to link to the person who is so that they can become
mm-hmm.
a part of that. Finance, humor, any aspect of a personality, you link on to somebody, and when you're that attached to them and you need them, it's because you don't feel that in yourself, so you're hoping that that person fills that need. And nobody's ever going to fill that need. It's not going to happen. You have to fill that need within yourself. And it's not to say that I sit here on a soapbox saying that, you know, I don't have any needs to fulfill. We all do, but that's our journey here.
Exactly.
I did a show once called Spiritual Belief or Spiritual Cop-Out. Part of it was because a lot of people hide behind the fact that, you know, I'm perfect because I like myself just the way I am, and I'm perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have things to do here, and quite frankly, if we don't have work to do or things to learn here, then we're kind of done, and we should just head back home. That's what your exit spots are for. You know,
I hear that.
We have so much to do, and you know, we have to keep learning and growing, but we can't hide behind a belief system in order to avoid conflict or in order to avoid sadness, which is one of the biggest ones. People don't
mm-hmm.
want to feel sad. People don't want to cry. And people don't feel okay with anger. You and I had a conversation about that on the phone. People don't feel okay to feel anger. You know what? Anger is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. If life was bliss 24/7, then what the hell are we moving forward to? Why are we leaving?
Exactly. That's the thing. Is people have a hard time believing that we're in a great place and we came here to experience this. But it's really true.
Yeah,
where did I leave? I left for this.
You know, because I don't believe in hell. I respect everybody's belief in hell. I don't personally believe it. I believe that we're in it. I believe that we kind of go there in order to learn, and then we get to go back home to our beautiful place. But everything down here doesn't have to be horrible, but it's not going to be bliss 24/7. That's part of the movement. You know, why would you ever move? You know, if you're sitting in the sauna with a cocktail and, you know, the hot guy delivering it to you, who wants to get out?
That's true. Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in and
thanks for
standing on that.
And you weren't abusive. I thought I was going to get beat up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, she's going to beat me up and then I have a reading. Sorry, sweetheart. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I just saw something typed into the chat room that's actually extremely helpful if you want to kind of get perspective on this. It's Princess63 who said it. She said, don't try to make someone else responsible for your own happiness. I can't say that any more succinctly than she did. That is fantastic. I can remember I've had past relationships. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but I have learned and I have gained perspective because I choose not to keep fumbling around in the mud. I don't find that useful. And I was in a relationship, and I remember at the time asking my guides, this is not working. Why am I in it? And of course, I didn't get the answer I wanted. It was, you know, you're exactly where you need to be. There's something here for you to learn. Okay. It took a while, took about a year, but I finally woke up one day and realized if I wake up every day and I have to look at the person next to me and wonder how they feel about me and how, if that's going to dictate how my day is going to go, what am I doing? Why am I letting this person tell me whether or not I'm going to be happy, whether or not I'm going to have a productive day? That's my job. I'm the one who's responsible for my own happiness. And I found myself in like other kinds of relationships where the other person always was looking to me to find out what the temperature of the day was going to be. And when I would get upset that I was getting all this responsibility put on me, it would confuse them. And it's like I was saying earlier, if everyone took responsibility for their own selves, you wouldn't have all this mess. This planet would evolve like a rocket ship. It would be insane. We'd all ascend, and it would be done. But this is the mess we choose to come to. Like Lisa said, like we were talking about, we basically come here, and we know that this is going to be difficult, but we know that it's going to expand our learning, and it's going to accelerate our evolution because we are ultimately souls, and the souls that we are, you know, want to learn, want to expand, want to have these little journeys on. We go to multiple places too. We're not just people who come to Earth. There's other galaxies, there's other planets that we incarnate to, And for whatever reason, when you're in spirit, you look down and you think, wow, man, that looks good to me. I want to go down there because I know that when I'm there, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm going to remember who I am, and I'm going to do this the right way. Don't you think we all think that? And then we come here and we just, you know, cause all this commotion. But the whole point of the exercise is to have the experience. If you know already that you're whole, when you come down here, how are you going? You won't figure that out. And relationships will be useless to you. You'll have absolutely no purpose here, is basically what I'm saying. Look at all of us whose purpose is to try to help other people advance with their own development. For a long time, you know, I grew up in a household where, you know, you respected your elders knew more than you, and that was the end of the story. A lot of people grew up like that. But what that did was it set me up to not believe in myself, because I always saw myself as a child. You know, here I am, I'm 35 years old now, and it's only been in the last few years that I haven't seen myself as a child, because that power was so unbalanced. I wasn't able to see the forest or the trees. And there are things that I know that my parents don't know. This is a different generation. I'm learning different things. And as long as there's a respect, a two-way respect, the balance of power doesn't need to be thrown off like that. So I knew at some point I was supposed to be a teacher, but it scared the living daylights out of me. How am I supposed to teach people things I don't know? Basically what I asked my guides. And they're like, you don't have to worry about that. Just go off. I kind of forget that they're there and that I'm an instrument for them. The experiences that I go through, as I said in my blog, this past blog, I go through them a certain way for a reason, and it's because Spirit knows that I'm going to go and share them. And the many different experiences that I have are varied because the people that are going to be drawn to me are also going to be varied. And how they receive their information, somewhere in where, if they're drawn to me, somewhere in my writing is a situation that's either identical or very close, and it's going to help. Even if they just move forward a little tiny baby step because they believe in themselves for that split second when they see that somebody else had an experience similar and that it is real, it's awesome. I've had that experience myself. I didn't get here alone, but the relationships that I had, I learned from, you know, and that's how I got here. I'm just as guilty as the next person of wanting to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me and then trying like hell to make myself into what they want, when really a healthy person would look at that situation and say, that's not the right person for you. I don't know that that's, you know, the case for a lot of people, but you have to get to that place where you know. Let me just answer this question. 30 minutes from now on. By the way, everyone, I think I'm going to be doing 30-minute shows from now on because Blog Talk Radio is upping its prices and all that. And at this point, I don't have a source of income to keep me doing this for free, or I should say support it. So I'm not really sure how that's going to go. But this is probably my last one-hour show. But back to what I was saying, a person who is healthy can look at someone who doesn't want to be with them and know that that's not the right person for them. A person who is unbalanced or has issues with self-esteem, and I know that word has a horrible connotation, that concept has a horrible connotation. It doesn't mean that you're just a big loser. I know that that's what people hear when they say you have low self-esteem, is that I think I'm a loser. That's not exactly it. It has more to do with where you feel you fall in the scheme of things, and knowing that you have a place and that your place is a position of power, whether it's here, there, or wherever, that's when you have healthy self-esteem. If someone doesn't want to be with me, number one, I fully respect that that's what they want. If that's what, you know, who am I to tell them this is what you should do? I really feel as though, like I said to that caller, you can do whatever you want. I absolutely have no ties to what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you comes from spirit. This is what they want you to know. I'm being used for this purpose. Whatever you do with it is up to you. That's between God and you. When it comes to me, it's the same thing. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. There are going to be influences in my life. There are going to be lots of relationships around me that are going to help me figure out where I fall in the scheme of things. But wherever I fall, I find the power in that place. Now, where I work as a massage therapist, it's not really a hierarchy like in a traditional office. But each person has their own distinct role in keeping the business working and making the customers happy. I own my role. I know what it is my job to do, and I know what it is not my job to do. And I do what I can to the best of my ability. That's how it needs to be in life. Know who you are. Know who your, where your strengths lie. The only way you're going to know these things is by looking within yourself. Don't look to other people to tell you. I mean, you can get advice from other people. You can get their opinions. But don't let those opinions override what you feel inside, because that's really where your truth lies. And you need to understand that. It's really easy to look around you and say, well, this is popular. I want to be that. Yes, but let's put it this way. If all of the souls on this planet right now were an orchestra, all of the different instruments in their groups have people playing them. If for one or two people, if they're fighting, and this is just one or two people, this is in the whole orchestra, if the conductor decides he's going to pick up a couple of those things and beating on the drum instead of conducting, what's going to happen? That's huge. When you look at it from that perspective, it really helps you understand. Every instrument in the orchestra is important in order for everything to work properly and to sound the right way and to be in harmony with each other. Removing only one person throws that off. Well, look at how many people are out there wandering around not knowing what they are, who they are, and trying to be other things. You could have an orchestra that's just full of people playing the violin, and that's not an orchestra anymore. Now it's just a bunch of people playing the violins. And can you feel how if you were in the audience and you wanted to see the orchestra and you only saw that, it would take away from it? Anything that one soul does, and my guides tell me this all the time, one soul makes a difference. It's always been that way. In the whole scheme of things, even though we may not see it because we don't have the perspective, from a higher perspective, every soul makes a difference and every soul has a place. When you know your place and you serve your purpose, that's when everything falls into line for you. That's when you really get to that place where everybody wants to be, where you know who you are and nobody threatens you anymore because you know who you are. You can only be threatened by people if you have some kind of doubt as to who you are or what exactly, you know, you're supposed to be doing. That's when people get threatened. That's when my God is not your God and therefore I have to kill you. That's when that stuff starts to happen. If you can just become secure that you're here with a purpose, your only way to find that purpose is to look within. And then once you start living your purpose, it's just a different kind of life. I lived most of my life working and doing things that other people thought I should do. I took a job when I was 15, working for a bakery, and I have been working ever since then, with the exception of what I would call like my moment of truth when I got laid off from my long career in marketing. You know, after that, I went to high school. Did I get to choose my high school? Of course not. I got to go where it was expected for me to go to do better. And I'm not saying anything bad about my parents. They did what they were best. They did their best with what they had, and they did what was best for me at that time. But like that relationship, in order for to maintain healthy relationship status, needed to transition to a place where I came into my own power and I started to take the reins myself and said, thank you so much for everything that you've given me. I now know what I have to do, and then go out and do it. You can't continually have people telling you what to do all the time. It takes away your power, and it takes away your power because you're giving it to them. You are in charge of your power. Like I said, the small things count. Even just having someone cut you off in a grocery line, if you're quiet every time, you know, and you have nothing to complain about. You chose to be quiet. I choose to say, I'm sorry. I thought I was in line first here. Is that going to be a problem? But God forbid you do confrontation around here, because that's going to bring up things you don't want to deal with. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. It seems stupid, and I'm not saying go cause a problem in a grocery store. Please don't take it that way. But just know, all of these little instances where you give away your power build up, and somewhere in your subconscious, you're running that program that everybody else is more important than you are. And so take that with you today. See where it takes you. All I ask is for people to entertain the concept. You don't need to adapt it. You don't need to believe it. You can read 100 books, and they can all say something different. Just because you read those books doesn't make you a follower or one of whoever wrote those books. All it's going to do is give you some information that you can use for your betterment. That's all I'm asking. You don't have to listen to anything I say. You can change the channel. You can change the channel. You can listen to someone else. Take back your freedom of choice. That's the message today. and use that in your relationships as well. So I'm going to wrap things up because I only have a few seconds left. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is going to be my last hour show for a while. I can't thank you enough for your support. It really means a lot. And hopefully you'll all join me next week for my half hour show. Walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste.